The book of Ephesians chapter 6. Let's start from verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Let's not forget that we are standing firm against the devices, the tricks that the devil is trying to use against us. He said, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That is, we are not watching the devices of men, but the devices of the devil. Our struggle is against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. For that reason, he says, take off the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, he said, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now you do all this, he said, with all prayer and petition. And pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And Paul also requested that prayers be made on his behalf, and for the reasons he explained in verse 19. Now, this is a text of scripture we have been using for all our discussions on this matter of Christian warfare, and I'm beginning today to bring everything to a close. So, for that reason, I may have to review what I've been explaining. Amongst the issues, of course, I mentioned one of them, is that one, the Christian is an overcomer. The Christian is not afraid. What the devil has against him is not his power. That is, the devil doesn't have power against the believer. What he uses, therefore, are the tricks and the devices he tries to use to pull people out of their faith. Now, please get that point. He tries to pull you out of the center of your faith, because the truth is that God has created you an overcomer. By reason of your faith in Christ Jesus, you indeed are an overcomer. And when we say that, it's a very practical thing. Because life poses challenges to people every day. What God is saying through his word to you is that indeed you have been pulled out of darkness, from the situation of failure and frustration, into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, who said that I came that you may have life and have that life more abundantly. That is, anything you do in life in which you are to manifest the glory of God, indeed you are an overcomer. A very common thing you hear every time, all right? I go around and talk to people, all right? You know, people, I want to give you as an example. Take marriage as an example. People sometimes, they use the history, all right, of somebody's life. I can never marry a girl that the parents are not together. Somebody told me that again recently. And I told him, this was just a few days ago, I said, forget that one. That is not what the problem. Because he said, my wife is giving me so much hassle. Look, that's a mistake I made. I should have known that when her parents are not together, you should never marry such a person. You see, now I don't want to discuss the intricacies of why they say that, or why it is right, or why it is not right. But what I just want to bring out is that in the life of a believer, okay? That's what we mean, somebody is an overcomer. If you like, let your grandfather kill your grandmother, you understand? You know, it happens. And then the other one on the other side too, they separated, and your grandfather married two witches as junior wives to your mother. And then your father too is a terrible man. He has boxed your mother very well, and your mother left the house while you were 2 years of age. Doesn't make any difference to your life as a believer. You will marry and be a very good wife, and everybody will be rushing to marry your daughters because of the kind of good wife that you were. You follow what I'm going to say? That's what it means to be an overcomer. What does it mean to be an overcomer? You know, I say this all the time because our issues. It means that, look, whether I'm in Nigeria or London or in America or in Australia or in Botswana, all right, poverty is not my portion in Jesus' name. Amen. That's just what it means to be an overcomer. Jesus used to talk in very practical terms, and I want us to understand that. So that's the first thing we must bear in mind as a believer. Your history does not dictate your future unless you're talking about your history of faith. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? That is where you came from. Those things don't dictate your future. You indeed are an overcomer in Christ Jesus. Now, this is a problem. The problem is that Satan is to persuade you that you are not, first of all, before he can ruin your life. And indeed, he succeeds a lot of times in ruining the lives of believers. You know, Kingsley came to see me this afternoon, and we're talking. And along the line, we talked about somebody who walked somewhere. I don't want to give more details than that. I said that this man had this morbid fear of another person working in his establishment, that this person is plotting to overtake me in this place. Do you understand my point? That is, they are scheming to have this person promoted above me, so that the fellow will now be my boss. And he had all kinds of stories. He's told me stories like that for many years. I've heard him say this thing again and again in my hearing. And one day I called him, I told him, I said, look, I happen to know what is going on here. And I can assure you, nobody has such plans. Along the line, he misbehaved one day. He was disciplined. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? And that meant that the other person now became his boss. And you know, I told him, I said, you know what he'll be saying now in his mind? I always said it. I always knew it. I said, but the truth is that nobody was plotting or planning anything. All that happened was that the thing that he greatly feared came upon him. All right? Because he was always saying it and confessing it. Then one day he walked. Now, why trying to fight that from happening? One day he put himself into a place where it happened. Nobody planned it. It was not orchestrated physically. I'm very sure what I'm saying. What am I saying? You know what Satan does? He first tries to persuade you. In fact, when I said Kingsley and my wife were there, and he said that, oh, that was exactly what I wrote in some of my books, and then which I preached on there several times, that a fellow will say, I said so. And Satan will say, yes, you did. In fact, I needed you to say it. And now that you have said it, I have used your words to fight against you. That's why it's very important we learn to speak in agreement with God. He said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. How do they overcome? By the word of their testimony. They are not trying to overcome Satan now as if he was not defeated. But what's happening is that Satan comes with accusations. Are you getting my point? Against them. And these are things. Please read that in my book, By Faith Acquire Life. Satan comes with accusations against the people. He can't do well. This is the reason. She can't do well. And these are the reasons. And they overcome those accusations. He's an accuser of the brethren. They overcome those accusations by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And what do we mean by the blood of the Lamb? To the blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel, that is the blood of Jesus, speaks. And the person who overcomes by the blood is not the man who shouts, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. No, he's the person who speaks the same words, are you getting me, as what the blood is speaking, because the blood speaks. What am I trying to explain? What Satan tries to do, all right, is to get us to be afraid. I need to say this. The warfare of the believer, all right, is to sustain his faith. Jesus looked at Simon. The problem is that your faith might fail. Therefore, I prayed for you. And if your faith does not fail, you will discover that Satan will not be able to sift you. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? That's what Jesus is always concerned about. He said, will the Son of Man find faith on the earth when he returns? It's a matter of faith. Please don't ever forget that. All Satan tries to do, okay, is to get us to depart from that position of faith. I said something last time. Let me say it again. We need to hear very clearly because it's very important. All right? You know, I was referring to a proverb I quote all the time. I said, a child that does not die must become an adult. That's a matter of fact. In the same manner, all right? Any believer that just works with God naturally must become something great in life. He must fulfill destiny. That's a matter of fact. He doesn't have to try. The battle every day is the battle to sustain his faith and believe this thing I'm saying. Because in life, listen, Satan will use everything he has to persuade you that you are wrong. You will buy magazines, they will tell you, see, I told you your economy is in trouble, therefore you are in trouble. But what do? We use our shield of faith, all right? And then we use the word of God. He says one thing, we refuse his suggestion. We declare that which God has spoken, all right? These are the things we have been saying. I just want to generally give us a small summary. There's something I said last time. Let me just highlight it again. Talking about the preparation, all right? Don't forget those two things we discussed last time. The sandals, the shoes, all right? It says the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I discussed the breastplate of righteousness. Let me please quickly say something about that breastplate of righteousness. The warfare of the believer. In fact, let me say this. I know I'm going to spend some time on this. Let me say it again. There's a message I preached some time ago. I think about three, four years ago. Titled, Overcoming Evil Spirits. Please, it's important. I'll recommend everybody go and listen to it. Now, when I talked about overcoming evil spirits, there's something I want to emphasize there about this breastplate of righteousness thing. What I was saying, naturally, when you hear that, You know what you think about? Overcoming the devil. Do you understand my point? But what I was saying there was not about the devil. I was talking about wrong spirits in the heart of people. I was talking about wrong spirits in the hearts of believers. That when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, pray like this. Alright? He said, deliver us from evil. Okay? First time I read those scriptures, when I began to teach, I thought what he was saying was that deliver us from experiencing evil. But that was not what he said. He said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What he was saying is this, deliver us, listen to this, from causing evil. Deliver us from being the one performing evil. Do you understand my point? Deliver us from sinning against you. What he said is this, lead us not into temptation, but, I mean, there must be a connection. But deliver us from falling into the temptation to do evil. Do you understand my point? Listen, you don't have the power in yourself, do you understand, to resist sin. That's what I discuss in Great Faith Can Be Yours. You know, the subtitle of that book is You Can Obey God When It Seems, Even When It Seems Hard. That you don't have the power in yourself, is that okay, to resist sin. Sin is resisted through the operation of prayer. Now, he said that, let's draw near to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Go and read that again in context. He was talking about when there is temptation to disobey God. Now, so I'm explaining something here. So you see, that issue, all right, of righteousness, that's what I'm trying to explain. A believer must take the, let me put it like this, must put in the energy necessary to ensure that he walks in righteousness at all times. It is vital. The reason is because that is what Satan uses against him when he walks into evil. So Jesus said, deliver us from evil. What he was saying is this, if we don't cause evil, that is, if we don't do evil, all right, then we are immune from the operations of the devil. Please, I hope you are getting my point. So that's why this warfare, that's what I'm going to bring out. Because I mentioned that Paul said something at the end. He said, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the spirit and all of that. Now, Jesus, when he was teaching disciples to pray, he emphasized, pray like this. Deliver us from evil. That is, if evil is not found in our hands, he wasn't saying, let evil not come upon us. He was saying that let us not participate in evil. Listen, maybe one day we should study that Lord's Prayer. It's a very important prayer. You cannot, listen to this, you cannot by yourself, all right, just make up your mind that I'm strong against temptation. No. What you can do is what Jesus said. You pray constantly. You know, I've been saying something again and again. I hope we are getting the point. I hope even me preaching it, I'm getting it. The key to success for a Christian, two things, and I'm going to discuss one of them today, is the word of God and two, prayer. Now, what I'm bringing out here is this. Every time issues come up in life, you see challenges and temptations. And there was something that Paul said. If you see a man overtaken in iniquity, say you that you think you are spiritual, you should be afraid lest you yourself be tempted. Are you getting my point? What do you do when you see all those things? What you do is that you go in prayer to God and pray simply. I have noticed this kind of evil going on out there. God, deliver me from evil. I don't know what I'm not explaining. Very crucial. The reason is because without that, Satan cannot, listen, he cannot get a hold in your life. So the warfare of the believer, therefore, is this. Protecting himself. That's what I ended last time, talking about the matter of righteousness. The warfare of the believer is protecting himself, using all the energy that's in you to prevent yourself from falling into what? Evil. Very, very, very vital. And I explained something, I just want to emphasize that again. You know, I'll just review that one briefly. That when he talked about defeat with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that they're having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, there was something that God told the children of Israel through Moses. Alright? He said, these laws I'm giving you are the laws you will use to walk in that land when you get there. You know, this afternoon I was meditating. I said, oh, I should have quoted that scripture last time. Don't forget that thing. I said, it is vital, alright, that you have a preparation. That is, anything you're asking God for, is that okay? You should know exactly what you will want to do when you get there. Listen, don't miss our seed season 2. It's going to be shorter than the last one. Just one single weekend, all right? The way we did it, we'd have about 4 sessions or so. But what I want to bring out is that matter. What makes you resist, okay, and you persist? You know, Rocky was telling me something some time ago about his boss. And he said something. The kind of work that they do. That there was a time the boss had some challenges. That's why he started working for the man. And the man said, they can't discourage me. Now listen to this. He said, it's my calling. Now, the man does estate development and all of that. That it's my calling. It's my divine assignment to help people own their own homes. That they can't discourage me. What was he saying? This is what I want to do. This is what I am prepared to do. Therefore, I have the strength to withstand their discouragement. Are you following the point I'm making here? Listen, I need to emphasize this. There's not, Satan can't, does not have the power to kill you. Did I hear an amen? He doesn't have the power to make you fail. Did I hear another amen? Amen. If he can't succeed in these things that we're discussing, putting your hands into evil, discouraging you, making you fearful, if he can't succeed in any of these things, believe me, he doesn't have any power to frustrate you. Listen, let me tell you something. As a young man, as a young woman, all you are facing right now are the tests of your resilience. Do you get my point? God wants to see how long is this girl willing to wait? How long is he willing to stand by righteousness? This is not because you're a failure. A lot of people tell me things. In fact, somebody sent me a text today. I don't know when he was here. Wabran was here recently, and a very long text message. And talked about how he was discouraged because of some, you know, like he's left school for some years. Maybe his mates are achieving some things. He's not achieved them. All right? And he was discouraged. But he was just sending me a text to thank me very much for the word of God that he has heard from here and how that has really encouraged him and given him the strength to forge on in life. And when I read it, I said, you see, that's the problem with a lot of people. They easily get discouraged. All right? Life wants to persuade them that they are not blessed people. Listen, I didn't drive a car for the first 8 years after I left university. Is it 8 or 9? 9 years, essentially. 9 years, almost. That's mine. But do you know the interesting thing? Nobody on earth could persuade me I was not a blessed man. It was in the midst of trekking and feeling very airy. I read the scripture. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I'm telling you, can't ever. It's not possible to persuade me that I'm not a blessed man. Even if you are devil raised to power 1,000, I still won't believe you. I'm a blessed man. How do I know? I've read it in the scriptures. I have believed the Lord Jesus Christ. Except you want to unresurrect him and die him again. Do you get what I'm saying? So that he didn't come. Then maybe you can be telling me about the curses on Noah and the curses on my ancestors. I may believe that. But once Jesus died, go and listen to all my Easter messages, the one I preached the last 2 or 3 years on radio. Because normally when it's Easter period, I preach a resurrection message. Go and get all of them and listen to them. Please listen to it until you can recite the whole message. Because what I preach in that is, look, the power of resurrection, partaking of Christ's resurrection. If Satan cannot, Satan can't do it to me. He is too late. He cannot persuade him that I'm not a blessed man. If he can't persuade you, he can't make you fail in life. The problem is I tell people that, look, you're a failure. And they believe him. They believe him. You have 2 challenges in life. He uses that to tell you that Jesus didn't die and was not raised from the dead because you failed 2 exams. Because you dropped 3 applications, suddenly Jesus didn't die again. Please, do you get what I'm not explaining? Listen, I said something, I think was, when we were recording for radio at that time. I said, this is what you use your faith for. And let me say it to you clearly. A friend of mine, one day we were discussing. He said a man went somewhere. He went to a house. No, he had to stay over. Maybe he was going on a journey. And then he couldn't complete the journey. That is, so he had to stay somewhere and sleep over. Then he met a woman, a good Samaritan, who helped him and took him to a house where he was going to stay. And after she settled him in, when she was leaving, she told him that, well, in case you need anything, call me. I would show you how to survive without it. Not that I will get it for you. No, did you hear what I said? So maybe you're cold at night, you need a blanket, just call me. I'll tell you how to manage in this house without a blanket. As me, you're hungry at night, all right, you want to eat something, call me. I'll show you how we manage without having food. That was the last thing the woman told us. If you need anything, just let me know. I will show you how to survive without that thing that you think you need. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying that. I have realized this day, when you want to develop your faith, this is how I was taught initially in faith. I was taught to use my faith to get a car, use my faith to get a house, use my faith to get a wife, use my faith to get this and to get that. Let me teach you a new level of faith. Use your faith to learn how to do without those things. You know, I said something then on radio. Paul said, I have learned to abound and have learned to abase. First, use your faith to learn how to trek with joy. A brother told me yesterday when we were traveling, he said, I was thinking of buying a bike. I said, why didn't you buy it? Instead of waiting till you gather 1 million naira, collect 70,000 naira and go to Ubuawa and you are settled. Don't know what's Ubuawa. Jingcheng. The idea is that, look, it settles your mind. There's a reason why I'm saying all of these things. You see, it's so vital we don't let Satan trouble our souls. It's so vital. Look, the first thing you do with your faith, all right, is to use it. Don't use it to get a car. Use it to learn how to enjoy life without one. You know the interesting part? I did not know that was what I was doing. But since in retrospect, I realized that was what I did. Believe me, that was what I did. As God is my witness, it was never possible for somebody to make me feel bad. You know, when people say that, God was so good to me. Father, I thank you. It wasn't because of what he gave me materially, but because of how he helped me to understand that there's nothing like my mate. Look, then, this is not a joke. You could gather 10 of us and say, okay, all brethren, we are meeting as so and so, and we are supposed to be 10 brethren. People can come, you can get there and find 9 cars packed, 9. And the only person who strolls in without one was this guy. You know the interesting part? None of these things moved me. I'm telling the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. In fact, what I will do is to simply look at your car and say, when did you buy this one? Come, let's drive. We'll jump inside. You will give me a ride around, then you park again. It's a boy, is that your own car? I jump inside too. At the end of the day, we'll pray, we'll share word, we'll do our meeting and we'll disperse. Where are you? Who's giving me a lift? Drop me at home. And that's the end of it. I won't go and sleep at night. Say, God, though, is your my mate? No, believe me. I learned it very early. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. There's a message that's hot inside my heart, and I don't want to preach it to you now. The last few days that the thing has been blessing me seriously in this area. I have discovered, number one thing that Christians should learn to do with his faith is not to get material things. One of the problems you have is actually that those material things, all right, like I said that time when we were talking on radio, that you think you need them, God says you don't need it. I found that by reading from Revelation chapter 3, that people who say they are rich, and God looks and says, you are not rich, you are poor, you are wretched, you are miserable, you are naked, and you are blind. That was his verdict to the church in Laodicea. That suddenly taught me something. Simply, that no matter what you appear like materially, there is something that God is looking at and using it to judge whether I'm rich or I'm poor. Do you get my point? And sometimes you ask for something, God, give me 5 million naira. God says that's going to send you into further poverty. You have problems right now. That is, right now, you have problems. You think it is money, but I know it's not money. When I give you 5 million naira, you become worse off than you were before. That's why, listen, don't use your faith to get money. First, use your faith to learn how to enjoy life without it. I'm saying something. This is our warfare as Christians. That's our warfare. We want to keep the stability of our souls. That's the warfare we have as believers. We're not fighting any enemy. Please, I said something last time. Let me say it again. That when Satan and the world want to fight, they want to check the weakness of their enemies. We believers, we don't. We check the strength of our what? Spirit. We check the strength of our faith. How am I in my faith? Am I walking according to the word of God? That's how I establish myself as an overcomer. Listen, this thing I'm saying is very crucial, because I'm about to end the series on Christian warfare. Listen to me. Let's assume somebody showed me, come, Pastor Banky, come. Can you see? Those are 6 Ogboni men, 7 witches, 25 Freemasons, 7 Guru Maharajis. See those sacrifices? They are doing those sacrifices against you. You know what I would do? I'll quickly ask the Lord, Baba God, any issue between you and me? Say nothing. Forget them then. Let's go. Let's pray against them. Why? You know, if we pray against them now, we scatter them. They will live a productive life. So let's leave them busy, doing nothing. This is how we send them into poverty. You don't understand? They should be working. They are not working. They are gladly making sacrifices against us. Because as God is my witness, I know it has no effect. I've not gone to my message for today. I'm just trying to review everything I've been saying so that we can leave everything there. My story I like to tell all the time is Derek Prince. Great man of God. One day, a woman that had a familiar spirit, he was praying for her. And the spirit acted up. Alright? And you know what they call a familiar spirit? You've seen them around. You've gone to a white garment church, yes, that's what they use. You know, they dine with familiar spirits. That's why they see all kinds of visions. As soon as you step in, they tell you the history of your life. That's familiar spirit. Alright? They do it a lot, okay? Now, that's not to be confused with the operation of the Spirit of God in what is called the word of knowledge. That's a very, very different thing, alright? But there's what we call familiar spirits, okay? Now, this woman used to see visions because of her familiar spirit. And it's material I'm working on. I told you God's story of your life, alright? And then, suddenly the Spirit showed her a vision. And she turned to the man of God that was praying and said, I see you in a red car wrapped around a tree. That is, the man died in an accident. And he said to her very coolly, you should have listened to Derek Prince, alright? Get one of his material, listen to him. He talks very coolly. And I can imagine the cool voice in which he replied her. He said, oh, that's the plan of the devil. And I don't walk in the plan of the devil. That was final. No prayer about it. No God, I reject. I will not die. I will live. I will not die. I will live. I will not die. I will live. Listen, if you need to say it. Amen? But no prayer all night about the devil. Hey, the devil, you can't kill me. I speak to you. I'm a child of God. Holy Ghost, fire on your head. Holy Ghost, I return this plan to sender. Listen to me. The sender of that plan can't die again. His name is the devil, so forget it. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? I return it to sender. Listen to me. All this, you see them around. They hear it from me. It's around rubbish that we have gotten ourselves involved in. I see books, 16 effective prayers against dangerous demons. And all the prayers is against the activity of the demon in their finances, in their homes. Listen to me. Activity of demons is in your heart. It's against your faith. If you see any rumbling around, what he's trying to do is that he's trying to scare you. And listen, some of those books, I'm sorry to say, some of those books and prayers are actually forcing us further into fear. They are moving us further into fear. They are emphasizing the work of the devil. I have another testimony. You know, let me just say this, by the way. You know, let's gist more. Let us gist more. You know, this is Africa. If bats dey your roof, there are people who won't sleep. They say there are bats in their roof. They go and call pastors to come and drive away bats. If there are bats in your roof, you know what you should do? Call a fumigator. It's chemical that drives away bats. It's not pastors. You saw a scorpion. Kill it. Which one is prayer about scorpion? One day, there was a house we were staying in before, my wife will remember. One day we came, there was an issue. There were some issues about the house. Alright? So one day we got home. And you know what I saw at our gate? A hive of bees. Someone said they used it to drive out of homes. Is it true? I don't know whether it's true or not. All I know is that I carried fire and burnt them up. Whether it's true or not. I really don't understand. All I know is that when it was night, my wife, me, and our neighbor, a man and his wife, they said, what do we do? I said, well, I said, when I was young, they told me stories. Those days, how we used to go and look for honey from beehives. So I said, it's simple. So I just wore big robe, plenty gown, all right? And I put kerosene on I wrapped cloth on a long stick, put kerosene on it, and I walked there and I put the fire under the thing and burned down the hive. It didn't cross my mind that maybe somebody used jazz to want to move me out of a house. No, as God is my witness, it didn't cross my mind. But adventure, it was jazz. Guess what I'm saying? It's none of my business. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Listen, the jobless man should continue in his joblessness. Going from one witch doctor's house to another, it is not your business as a believer. That's what I'm trying to explain in all these things I'm saying. It pains me that I have to preach this thing, but if you don't, people will get confused. So you did work out for for what do you call it, for night, bats can't jam you. In fact, let me tell you a story that will make you laugh. Are you ready to laugh? Let me tell you what people do to bats. One day, when I was in secondary school, there was this particular night. Now, what was wrong with me and my friends? I don't know. But I guess maybe God allowed it to happen because he knew this guy will preach one day. Because there were about four or five classrooms in that block. And all of them had light. We were in boarding house. Alright? They had lights. I mean, but our one class was our class during the day. The light fittings there were bad. So if we came there to read at night, there was no light. I think because we wanted some privacy. Alright? And the other classes were full of people reading. So, me, my friend, four of us, four or five, we sat around one lantern. Obviously, we were not willing to read in the class without light, and we claimed we were reading. Around one, I remember, one lantern, four or five of us, and we sat in there. And then a bat flew into the room. Now, it's a nice story. I tell you what is nice about the story. So the moment the bat flew, you know, of course, initial, you know, response, hey, what's going on? They said, na bat. Ah! So the boy said, na bat, oh. I know the problem with bats. I don't know what I understand. They don't see at night. They use sound, all right? Projection is the bounce, is the echo of sound they use to find their direction. So if they come into a room like that at night, they really don't know where the door is. They keep going around until they find a way out. So the bat was just going around. That's what they tell you about, blind bat, you know? Just going around. You know, my classmates did. They removed their shirts and started chasing the bat. Finally, they hunted the bat down, removed the shade of the lantern, roasted the bat, as God is my witness, in the fire of the lantern and ate it there. They put the shade back, continue reading. Me, I'm not sure because I didn't know human beings are supposed to eat bats. And they were laughing. Two of us did not eat. One of them, you know why the other guy, Yenitunde, I remember his name, you know why he didn't eat? But then the reason you will laugh. He said, because if you eat a young bat, he said as a young bat, you grow gray hair. And he said he didn't want gray hair, so he refused to eat. In fact, he made a nice song out of the whole thing. But you know some people, a bat entered the room where they did. Phone go ring. Pastor, they have come. Who is they? The enemy. How did they come? In the form of a bat. The Lord is good. Now, believe me, there are people who are held in bondage to these kind of things. And listen to me, as believers, don't let them even move you to prayer. There's another story I like to tell. Very, very nice story. Smith Wigglesworth one day was asleep and he heard noise in his house. I think in the living room. And he came out and actually had, there was a being there in the form of, you know, like an evil person. Scattered the whole room. He looked. Maybe it was like having a vision of some sort. But he could see what was going on. So the man came and said, oh, I didn't know it was you, devil. I thought it was something that needed my attention. And he went back to the room and went back to sleep. You hear what I said? He came and said, oh, so it's you, devil. I thought it was something that needed my attention. The man went back to the room, covered himself, and went back to sleep. I've heard testimonies. There was one man, no mention him, who told his own story. The same thing happened to him. He went to a hotel. He went to preach somewhere, and while he was in the hotel room, the devil appeared to him physically and said, you have been disturbing me everywhere. Now I have come to get you. He said when he saw the devil, he knelt and began to pray. He prayed for 1 hour, and I wanted to ask him, bros, what were you saying for 1 hour? He said, after that, the Holy Spirit now told him, speak the word, speak the word, speak the word. He now began to speak the word, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Some weak, weak scriptures, not even some powerful ones. And after that, the devil now said, okay, I'm going to leave, but I will get to you later. And some people, it was being taught that that's why you should pray. And I said, no, I don't like that testimony. I like the testimony of Smith Wigglesworth. He said, when the devil appeared, he said, you. I thought it was something I needed to pay attention to. And he went back to sleep. I've heard another testimony. I don't have the details of that. It happened to another man. That one, he said, when he came out, he saw all the commotion. And said, Satan, is that you? Come! Where are you going? Rearrange everything that you scattered. Oh, yeah. That's where the book is supposed to be. Put everything back in place. After that, when you finish rearranging it, you can go. Went back to go and sleep. Some people go hear ordinary owl. You know what they call an owl? Make noise at night. They can't sleep again. You'll be anointing premises. Holy Ghost fire against my enemies. Owl is a bird, for goodness sake. The good Lord made it to make noise at night. You've watched too many home movies. They've told you all kinds of fairy tales. That's the problem. Let me tell you a godly tale today. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Are you getting my point? All powers, all authority in the heavens and on the earth have been given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, the devil doesn't have any over your life. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Please, owls are not witches. A man sees a black cat at night, he can't sleep again. I've seen occultists rear cats. No, I'm serious. What I'm telling you is the truth. I went to see a man once. He's an occultist. When I entered his office, in fact, from the reception, he's a doctor, right? On the reception, I noticed some drawings on the floor. I know I was much younger then. I was just a house officer. But I had a little bit of knowledge. And this looked like an occultic pentagram. Entered into his office, I saw a cat lying down gently on the table beside him. And he wore pure white. Real story. Later, they told me that I didn't know the man as a real Ogboni man, and I felt sorry for him. You know, that for me, I didn't feel anything. I entered his office for what? One of the things I've seen occultists actually use cats. I'm serious. I mean, you saw this. You know, for me, the cat was beautiful. Beautiful cat. Black. Jet black. Believe me, I can buy one. I'm not an occultist. It doesn't mean anything. For me, it's just a cat. A cat is a cat. And if the cat crosses my path and I'm in a bad mood, I can kill it with a kick. Though I'll try to be nice, even to animals. What I'm saying is that the fact that you have seen an occultist with a cat doesn't mean the cat that crossed your path is sent by Satan. The peradventure it is, the cat just ended his life. This is a cat that used up 9 lives in one single experience. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? Listen, that's what our lives are as believers. We are not fearful people. Let me tell you another story that will excite you, let you know the kind of power that's working towards you. One man, I spoke with him about 2 days ago. One day was traveling on the road and his car splashed water on some old men. As a nice man, he stopped and prostrated and said, "I'm very sorry." And they were talking nonsense. He said, "I said, I'm sorry now." It wasn't intentional. One of the men kept on railing curses upon him. He said, "This is enough. This was not deliberate. And I've stopped to apologize. And please, let me just warn you before you continue this your speech. I am a man of God. Nobody talks to me like this." That one continued talking. He said, "Okay, let me show you something." He said, "All these curses you are pouring on me, I hereby return them to you." The man dropped dead on the spot. That's a power that works towards them that believe. Don't be fearful. Are you getting my point? For information, the second guy, the guy disappeared. That one that kept quiet, that the curse didn't come on, he disappeared. He ran to the village to go and call the people. This man just stood beside the corpse there, not afraid of anybody. When everybody came, he said, "Look, I warned him that I am a man of God. Nobody talks to me anyhow." After they finished begging him, he laid his hands on the body, commanded the guy to come back to life. The guy woke up, entered his car and drove away. That's the kind of power that works towards them that believe. Nobody, you know, I don't know why human is. Maybe it's an African heritage thing. Some of the things we call witches, white man will study it. I'm not saying there are no powers of the occult. I'm not saying they don't exist. I'm just saying that the Ogboni man that tries Pastor Banky just died yesterday. Believe me. Not because he's a man of God, just because he's a believer in Christ Jesus. I have not come chasing your wife, so what's my problem? Do you get my point? The breastplate of what? Righteousness. What's my, your wahala and mine? Even if I cheated your business, I will confess before you come and return the money. In trouble. Are you following what I'm making? Listen, as a child of God, you must never, ever, do you get my point? Be afraid. Say, so don't call it conspiracy. What is we call it conspiracy? Neither fear you their fears. Do you get what I'm saying? They tell you, don't pass this place at 12 midnight. Oh boy, if you have business there at 12 midnight, pass it. There is the devil that can't come out in the day. Must be a very weak devil. You know, so you get power. I'm not sure for afternoon. So at night, I won't be afraid of you. Please, I hope you are getting the point. Satan's power is only upon those who walk in iniquity and who walk in ignorance. A believer is not allowed by God to be afraid of any power of the devil. Are you getting my point? Because indeed, the devil does not have any power over him. Because indeed, the devil does not have any power over him. Do you understand the point I'm making there? I hope we've gotten the point. Please, I hope I don't have to tell you this again. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Believe me, faith is the thing. And in fact, let me just go on. There's something I want us to go into today. I've been reviewing and trying to get us to understand some very vital material. Now, let's quickly read. There's another scripture I want us to read. The book of Judges chapter 11. I'll read a number of scriptures. We'll discuss these things. And if we don't finish it today, we'll finish it next time. But let me see how far we can go. The book of Judges chapter 11. There's just a statement I want to quote here that Jephthah made. Jephthah was a son of the harlot, the Bible described, or the son of Gilead. And they described his heritage and then how he was rejected by his brothers. And then one day they needed him because some people were attacking them. We don't have time for the whole story behind this issue, okay? But I just want to get down to a particular thing that he said. Well, if you read from around that 18 thereabout, when Jephthah sent messengers to the king of Ammon and explained that, look, this is not, you want to claim something, we did not take your land. And he told the story of how Israel got his land. That's where we are going to, okay? Now, from verse 21, he said, and the Lord, the God of Israel, gave Sihon and all the people into the hand of Israel, and they defeated them. Now, so Israel possessed all the land of the Amorites, the inhabitants of that country. In verse 22, it says, so they possessed all the territory of the Amorites from Arnon as far as the Jabbok and from the wilderness as far as the Jordan. Now, this is my emphasis from verse 23. Since now the Lord, the God of Israel, drove out the Amorites from before his people, are you then to possess it? That is it your God that gave you the thing you are asking for? He said, listen in verse 24. Do you, that is the Ammonites, do you not possess what Chemosh, I hope that's how it's pronounced, your God gives you to possess? Now, this is the conclusion. So, whatever the Lord our God has driven out before us, we will possess it. That is, if our God opens a door and allows us to possess something, that's where I'm going to verse 24, then we have a responsibility to take hold of that which God has given us. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Now, what I'm saying is very important. Now, if you notice something, the Ammonites and the Edomites, God didn't really allow Israel to take their land, all right? And you will notice it, and the Moabites also, okay? Now, this is the issue here. They had the inheritance that God had described for them. And like David would say, God appointed our inheritance for us. Now, somebody was now contending, are you getting me? With them for the inheritance that belonged to them. And Jephthah just made the spiritual principle here clear. That whatever it is that God has given you, then you have to possess it. Do you understand that point? Now, very, very important. I want you to just understand that. Now, quickly open again to Hebrews chapter 13. From verse 5, he said, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid, what shall man do to me? Now, there's a reason why I read the scriptures. Another one we're going to read, that's Psalm 91, we'll read in a moment. But let me just explain a few principles here. A friend of mine said something to me once, we kind of disagreed a bit about it. He said he was listening to me on radio. Anyway, this was what he was trying to explain. That he doesn't believe that Christianity is a supermarket. You enter into the shop and you pick what you like and drop what you don't like. That Christianity is an entire package. Are you getting the point? Now, there was a sense in what he was saying, and I'll tell you why we disagreed. So what he was saying in effect is that you can't just reject one thing and pick up the one you like. For example, You can't reject suffering, all right, and just preach blessing alone. And that is true. I understood what he was trying to say. But I told him that what you heard me say, I believe it. And some certain things led to it. I said, don't make excuses. I was preaching on radio. I said, don't make excuses for Satan. I said, look, I saw people try to give me excuses. Do you understand my point? For why, like somebody wrote a book, said, childless but not less. Do you understand? Therefore, I said, no, I don't want to read it. That, listen, I intend to have plenty of children. Amen? Therefore, don't give me excuses for Satan. Now, please, I'm going to something. It's very, very vital that you get the point I'm trying to make here. Now, and please, don't confuse what I said earlier, that you must arrive at the stability of the soul. Because I have noticed something. A lot of people, okay, they make excuses for what the world... Now, let me put it like this. When they don't understand the power of God to deliver from a particular situation, we make excuses for it. For example, say people, look, you can repent of your sin, but if you were HIV positive, you will still be HIV positive. I said, I don't agree. I don't agree. I just don't agree. I believe that if you repent truly, true repentance, we overturn the sentence of death that HIV and AIDS passed over upon your life. I believe that. That's what I believe. Do you understand my point? Because you have not seen deliverance. Doesn't give you the right to excuse it, the fact that people don't get delivered. What I just say, which is what I preach about stability of the soul, is that you must be ready to hold on to God no matter what happens in your life. Do you understand what I'm not explaining? That's what I say. So I told my friend, I said, listen, get this point clear. Jesus told us a parable that a man went to sow wheat, and at night the enemy came and did what? Sowed tares. I mean, you won't say I'm a Christian, I must gather everything together. No, the day of harvest, I have the right to separate them. I'm bringing out something. Just follow me. For example, you've heard me say it before. I learned how to abound, and I learned how to what? Abase. But I discovered the scripture that, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. What I said, which I'm still saying again, I am not saying I'm destined for poverty. But I'm just saying material things will not affect me, whether they are plenty or they are few. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? Please follow me very closely. Because part of Christian warfare, all right, is for you to understand what it is that God has given you, and you hold on to faith in that that is your portion. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? Healing is the portion of the believer. I believe it totally. Prosperity is the portion of the Christian. I believe it totally. Long life is the natural portion of the believer. I believe it. I don't believe that hereditary diseases should kill anyone who's of faith. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. I believe that we should come against the works of the devil by our knowledge of the word of God, and pray until we experience the power of God in our lives. I don't believe we just sit down and let devil just drive the carry away what belongs to us as an inheritance. I don't even believe in running away. If kidnappers come to Enugu, I will pray against them. I won't raise, look, listen, Jesus will look at his storm and say what? Be still. Last time I went to Benin, I was hearing stories of kidnapping. I said, you guys should learn what we did in Enugu now. You know, they came to Enugu, then they ran away. You know what happened? We know the physical thing that happened, but let me tell you the spiritual thing that happened. When we heard the story, one child kidnapped here, one man kidnapped there. I enter house, I call my wife. Hey, they have crossed, though. They have reached this place. Let's show them what we are made of. In the name of Jesus Christ, anyone who has decided that this is how I'll make money, die in the name of... this is not Holy Ghost fire again. I'm killing you myself. You have to understand the point here. I say I reject it.
in the name of Jesus, this kind of... Listen, I do that. In fact, look, this is my own way of operating. If you come now and say, Pastor, hey, praise God. I'm alive and well, amen. Amrobas entered our house yesterday. I said, let me have your hands. I said, they have made a mistake. They entered the house of a man that knows me. They made a mistake. I always do it. There's one little kindness God left in my soul. 24 hours for repentance. That's how I always pray the prayer. It's prayer. I don't have a gun. I'm not going to hunt you down. But believe me, my prayer is potent. My prayer is potent. So then my wife and I join hands at home. Say, no, not here. In the name of Jesus, we come against it. We resist it. We declare it will not happen. No, you see, this is interesting, but it wasn't just us. People here and there were doing it. Because we're hearing stories. Oh, our church, we gathered and we prayed. You see, I feel all this one of praying against imaginary people. You get what I'm saying? When there are serious issues, people don't pray against corruption in their state. They are praying against witches in the village. I said, look, you know how Jesus used to pray? He used to face the thing that's at hand. He looked at the storm. Oh, you agents of Satan, let me tell you, I won't die. No, he looked at the storm and said, you storm, be still. Please, do you get the point I'm making here? Brethren everywhere, including, I'm making that statement because I'm one of them. And they said, God said, very fine. He allows Satan to lead them to go and kidnap an important person. God has different ways of doing things. And that was the end in Enugu State. So when I went to Benin, I heard the story. When we went for our convention, I said, all those of you who are residing in Benin, let me show you how to do this thing. This is how you operate this matter. It is your right as a Christian, all right, to have peace of mind. Do you follow what I'm saying? I said, therefore, brethren, gather. Yeah, let's join hands. Let us pray. In fact, I should start calling them and start hearing the story because you know the way God does it. He will start. Let me not sound wicked. Let me not tell you something. Look, there are certain kinds of prayers I pray. Very, very dangerous. If armed robbers attack any friend of mine, my prayer is 24 hours. So I say, God, you know, there are those who are destined for, who possibly can repent. Either hasten their repentance between now and tomorrow. Because that's where my patience ends. You have many children on the earth. I have few friends. The Lord is good. Now, I'm bringing up something. Jephthah said, if God has given us something, it's our responsibility, what? To possess it. We have to keep it. But what I want to emphasize, because my time is going quickly, is that for believers to understand something. Before the children of Israel entered the promised land, God told them where to enter. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? Yes, he told them where to go and where not to go. What am I saying? Your life also, you know, I said something about the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ and how we studied the scriptures and saw the things that had to do with his life in the Bible. Believers also, listen to this. Listen to what I'm saying clearly, all right? You cannot get information from your wish. That's the problem we have. This year is my year of breakthrough. There's nowhere in the Bible where it is written. Nowhere. Nowhere. You can't make it compulsory that God, because of the seed I sowed in 2008, according to the time of life, to Jeremiah 2009, you are quoting the scripture inappropriately. Is he a baby you conceived that you are quoting according to the time of life of God? God says, okay, that your seed, I saw it. The time of life for that one is 16 years. What are you going to do? But that you will succeed in life, you can claim that one by faith and hold on tenaciously to it and refuse to give up on it. You can't give God a date. Your life, there's a process God is working through in your life. That's why, you see, God, we have to balance the message. I'm not saying as a believer you sign up for poverty. I don't believe in it. I actually don't. But I'm just saying that you don't get your satisfaction in life. Do you get my point? From the amount of material possessions that you have. That the first thing you do, you first use your faith to settle your soul first. And this interesting part, you cannot achieve that stability until you have studied the word of God. This interesting part, God has never said anybody should enjoy poverty. God has never said anybody should enjoy troubles. God has never said anybody should enjoy tribulations. What did he say we should do? Endure. Do you understand my point? And that's what we say we must all achieve. The ability to endure everything.
But please, let me say it clearly again. Listen, I believe in the gospel of prosperity. I believe in the gospel of health. I believe in the gospel of divine health. And listen to me, because the problem is that people start making excuses. The fact that you are not experiencing something now does not mean that's not what God wants you to have. I said, look, Paul said something when he was writing to Philippians, that I want to experience the power of his resurrection. What does that tell you? That says that the guy was not experiencing it fully yet at that particular point in time. But he had discovered that the plan of God is that he should experience the power of what? Resurrection. What am I trying to explain? Listen, it's not just your desires. No. We are saying that we read the word of God, do you get my point? And discover what it is that God said is the portion of the Christian. It's my portion as a believer. The Bible describes the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. I was saying something earlier that you won't even drive me away. For example, I believe I believe totally that we have a responsibility because God reclaims the earth. Is that okay? I don't have time to explain that in details. But what I mean is that Nigeria is not the nation of the devil. It's not an Islamic nation. It's not a secular nation. It's a nation that will come under the control of the kingdom of God. Are you getting my point? Therefore, we are not running. As far as I'm concerned, it's part of my possessions. If God calls me to be a businessman, look, I'm a minister. Is that okay? But I told you, ministry is not just preaching. Okay? We are all ministers, right? If you understand the word properly. God calls you to be a businessman. They can't tell you that, okay, run away now because dollar is now 189 and it's difficult to get at 120 or whatever. No. That is why we have the wisdom of God. Listen to me. I first understand that, like I said, I'm an overcomer. He said, the kingdoms of this world have become, he said, it was prophetic though, the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and it shall reign forever and ever. So I'm not going to run away. You are not going to drive me away from my inheritance. You won't. Poverty won't. Are you getting my point? Troubles won't. Oh, there are plenty of thieves in Enugu. I start praying again. All the thieves, in fact, God, let police be catching their small boys, but the big man behind them, I command him to have a heart attack. And Lord, 24 hours repentance, that is, you can kill him after 24 hours. So if he's planning to repent, do it now. I said, no, you are the one that run from Enugu. I am going to leave Enugu by commandment. Are you getting my point? Like I was telling my wife, I said, listen, before we came to Enugu, I didn't have an idea that I would come to Enugu. It was a few months before I came. I said, so, I don't know. One day I can announce to you that these meetings will end December, and after that, I'm going to Kenya. It's possible. No, believe me, it's possible. But an armed robber won't drive me. A kidnapper, won't drive me. I will wake up one day and say, the time has come. Are you getting my point? Until that time, poverty won't drive me. Why? Because I am an overcomer in the name of Jesus Christ. Troubles won't send me to America. If I want to go to America, I'll go because I want to go. Not because I'm hungry. Please, no, I'm telling you, that's what I believe. How do I know that? Because he said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you, and thou shalt not run after it. It's scripture. Now, you hear my point? I've written it properly. You will not run after it. It shall flow towards you. I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too difficult for me? Can't I build you a mansion in Enugu if you want one? So I won't run up and... Look, listen, my friend. Satan, poverty, whatever it is, will not make me run up and down. If I want to go to Australia, I'll go to Australia because I want to go to Australia. But that's why God knows. I'm not saying he must not, though. But if he can, he should just try. Send me to Malawi, Kenya, Botswana, you know, Sudan. No, I mean, you know, what's the other? Uganda, Congo. Yes. Because if I tell you that I'm going to Congo, you won't think it's money I'm going to look for. In fact, you'll be sending me a present. Pastor, how are you doing? Pastor, how are you doing? We wired you $100. I hope you have received it. Because this Africa, believe me, will take it for Christ also. All these warring spirits.
You know, all these spirits of conflict. When we arrive, they will depart. Are you getting my point? When we arrive, they will depart. Because the reason why they are causing so much trouble is because people of light are not there. I think, look, I don't want to go into the details. The way by which Satan vanishes from places is the arrival of people of light. Satan will disappear. The devil will disappear from our political sector when you get there. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Yes. Look, listen. We will carry the gospel of Christ all over Africa. Look, I will go to anywhere I want to go because God wants me to go there. I'm going to run up and down because of poverty. No, I won't. Physically on the earth, there might be troubles. I mean, like in Nigeria, you say, Nepal coins light, I won't go away. Alright? I will pray. When the letter, Nepal will become stable. Before that, we'll use prayer to get a generator. And if we don't have a generator, we'll learn how to survive without one. But we're not going anywhere. You won't use constancy of light to attract me from the place of my destiny. You won't. If there are bad roads, we'll buy Jeep. We'll use our faith. No, believe me. But one thing is that the devil won't take anything from us. We won't agree. That's the point I'm going to make. See, listen. This is the way it is. God has given us certain things, and it's our responsibility. And believe me, you want to know. You know, because listen, as a child of God, this book, all right? This Bible, in it, you'll be amazed as you read what God will enlighten your hearts to see. There are people who are afraid. In fact, I like a story Ken Hagin told once. Very beautiful story. Listen to this and listen to it. He said one day he read in Reader's Digest, and he said as you grow older, you get my point, you will get weaker, you start forgetting things, and your memory, you know, start forgetting things. And he believed it because, you see, it's when Satan has told you something, you have believed it. That's when your life starts, you know, conforming to what you have believed. Do you understand my point? Very important. He said that one day he was reading the Bible and he saw that Jesus was telling the story of the rich man and Lazarus who used to sit at his gate. And when they were when he looked, lifted up his eyes and looked at Abraham and said, Father Abraham, tell this man to cool my tongue and all of that. He said, Abraham said to him, Son, remember. He said, they suddenly hit him. This man is dead. His physical body decayed on the earth. Yet he was somewhere and he was able to remember. So he said, oh, in that case, you don't remember with your brain. Ability to remember is in your spiritual being. Do you understand? He said, no, forget. No matter how old I get, I won't forget anything. And the man at the age of 80-something will be telling you stories of 50 years ago, and this particular street, the house was number 15. You know, he will give you dates, addresses, names, and his brain did not become weaker. Are you getting my point? If God did not enlighten his heart to see that, Satan would have told him, the older you get, the stupider you become. And he will believe it, and then one day they say he has Alzheimer's disease. Let me tell you another thing. That's one of those things. The heritage of a believer, all right, is that you will remain strong even though you are 120 years old. Believe me, I don't intend to become weak and sickly and old. I mean, as I age, one man, one day we're talking, he said he doesn't want to live beyond the age of 65. I said, why not? He said, so that you will not be old. Now they'll be carrying you from bathroom to toilet and carry you to the bed. I said, at 65? What kind of mind do you have? The Bible makes it clear that I will be old and full of sap. He said, he satisfies my mouth with good things. My youth is renewed like that of an eagle. What are you talking about? Believe me, I have trusted God and look, I'm trusting more every day. One day I will be 90 years old. You will be there too. We'll still preach this gospel. Did I hear an amen? You'll be there too. As I straight like this, now so I go straight. I will stand and teach for 3 hours and I don't plan to get tired. 90 years of age is not equivalent to infirmity. It's when we believe nonsense, it becomes flesh in our being. If Jesus doesn't come back on time, I said, the day I want to go home to be with the Lord, this is what I want. I will have taught today. It will be a 3-day seminar. On the third day, I just won't show up. That's the kind of thing. And someone will come and carry the microphone and say, are we happy or regret? But we just want you to know. Pastor Bank won't be teaching tonight. He said, oh, what happened? This morning, after breakfast, he went home with Obi with the. I like that. The day before, we'll have been there laying hands on the sick, preaching the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. And by that time, you know, we are preaching all over the world. We'll soon start that one. Believe me. Look, listen. It is unto you according to your faith. The word becomes flesh. Whatever you believe will become flesh in your body. Listen, in life, stop making excuses for Satan. You know, this time of the year, I always fall sick. Why? Listen, the fact that we have not experienced some things in our everyday life doesn't mean God didn't provide it for us. And that's why we are gathered like this. We must every day discover the word of God. I like what the Bishop of Oyedepo used to say. He said, the amount of discovery that you make is what will determine the amount of recovery that you will experience. Perfect rhyme, isn't it? He said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. One of my favorite expressions is that phrase, excuses for Satan. We start making excuses. How are you feeling? I'm not feeling very well. Why? You know, because it's January. The dust is plenty. I always have sinusitis at this time of the year. Why? Because of dust. And you have believed it. I'm not feeling well. Look, if you're not careful, you slip into these things. I'm not feeling well. Why? You know, everybody is sick these days. This thing is just in the air. Me too, I don't catch my portion. We have to buy very small cars so that we won't be chopping fuel at all. Why? You know, petrol is very expensive. We keep confessing. Oh, God. You get my point? We are attracting wrong, evil, everything into our lives. We have refused to realize there is a power that works towards those who believe. Look, when you talk about mentor, a man who I'm trying to follow, all right? He's not alive today. John G. Lake. Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Part of my own is that I might understand the working of the power of God, so I will experience the power of God like John G. Lake did. He was ministering to those who had plague. People were dying, seriously infectious disease. They said, sir, I think we should give you some preventive measure. He said, I don't need it. They said, but you can cure the disease. He said, it's not possible. He said, it's not possible. Why not? He said, this is the way it works. All the parts of my body, they are wired through nerves to my brain. And my brain is connected to my spirit. And my spirit is directly connected to God. He said, electricity is like the power of God. He said, electricity is the manifestation of the power of God in the realm of the spirit, in the realm of the physical. He said, the life of God is transmitted through my spirit, through my brain, and down my nerves to all my skin. He said, any bacterium that lands upon it dies. Are you sure? He said, try it. And they did. Put a motile organism on him, checked them again after they were all dead. He said, you see, that's why I don't need it. He ministered to plague victims like that. In the midst of them, he never caught the disease. When I read stories like that, I said, that I might know him. And the power of his resurrection. That's what Paul was talking about. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. Listen, look, our warfare is not to run after one devil who's inhabiting a black cat. It's to fight ignorance in yourself. Listen, let me quickly get to this because it's very important. I may finish developing next time. Practical tips, practical steps. One of the things I've, in fact, this day, every day I pray, I say, God, please help me. You know, my new scripture, that will keep in perfect peace the mind that is stayed upon thee because he trusts in thee. I said, God, help me to keep my mind upon you at all times. One of the practical ways to keep your mind upon God at all times is to grab a book at all times. Read. Thank God for technology. I'm so happy for the heart he gave us in Kingdom World Ministries. We're not selling materials to make money. A friend of mine told me the other day, when I told him that our MP3 CDs are so popular, he said that that people like them a lot. He said, I'm so happy that now the sales from that can fund the ministry. I said, Korogbalenue. Who speaks to you about that? Ola Yinka, where you there? What it means is shut up there. I said, how many CDs do I have to sell to pay 200,000 naira a month in broadcast bills? That's what we pay. I said, what's our markup on each CD? For information, when we sell, carry the CDs to wholesalers, it leaves here at about 125 naira per CD. I said, I beg, my friend, relax. What am I saying? We're not selling CDs to make money. The only thing is I won't give out word free. The only one you get free is the one on radio. And that's to entice you to want more. Do you hear what I said? It's to entice you to want more. You go to where the CDs are sold, go and buy. It's not because of money. But if you can't put your money on it, you don't value it. One day, so my wife was selling, you know, we went for a conference, so we took our CDs. Someone went to buy, said, you will dash me now. The way my wife answered the person, changed his mind. Even if he dash after, I know we'll collect again. For me, I feel so angry. I get angry, actually. When you drive up in a car and ask me to dash you a 200 naira CD, after I have preached the gospel to you, free of charge, do you know how much you pay to get into your house free? Then you walk up, you have the effrontery to tell me to dash you. If I swear for you inside, you go fall down instantly. But I know I swear for you, because when I know ignorance, they worry you. You see, actually annoys me. Somebody was actually dashing me CD. Dash you a CD. For what? Don't you buy a recharge card? They sell you a CD at 180 naira. You say I should dash you. What you should do is, man of God, only 180 for this CD. And it has 13 radio messages. Creating the opportunities for prosperity is one single CD. Has the whole series. Spiritual economics is on one CD. Some of them we have to compress. I mean, that's 13 messages. Life of grace, 13 messages. Life of purpose, all of them will squeeze onto one CD. And they retain it for 18 years. And somebody has the phone, they say, dash me, dash you. The thing where I go dash you, now slap. What am I trying to explain? Why do we turn out those materials for cheap? Of course, you know, Kingdom World Ministry says the cheapest MP3 CDs you've ever seen. Am I lying? My reason is simple. We are not trying to fund ministry from CDs. I expect ministry to be funded from offerings. That's what I expect. And we will expand as much as God motivates people to give money to us. That's what we do. That's what I believe. But why do the CDs go out? We make them as cheap as possible. It's to ensure that everybody can lay hold on it, all right, and listen to it. This is what I'm saying. One of the things that strengthens your faith and allows you to know what belongs to you, so you can believe God for it and strive in faith so that Satan, because you see, I found out what really overcomes Satan is the persistence of your faith. He said, be followers of them who through faith and what? Patience inherit the promises. Even though you claim you have believed today and you have not inherited the promise, don't worry. You need to have patience. What is patience? You hold on to that faith no matter what the circumstances dictate. 25 years we waited for Isaac, but did he finally come? Yes, he did. But because we have waited for 20 years, he hadn't showed up, does not mean we now change our mind that God lied the day he called us into the birthing of Isaac. Are you getting my point? But the reason why it takes time sometimes is because God has a process he's taking you through. There are certain things he wants to develop inside you. I said something to you earlier, that when it comes to money, as an example, you say, God, I'm poor. God says, you don't understand, you're not poor. As far as I'm concerned, you are rich right now. You're just managing on the verge of more riches. He said, give me 5 million. I say, 5 million, and oh boy, it will send you into poverty. Why? You don't yet have the ability. He said, give me food that is convenient for me. Don't make me too rich or too poor. He said, if I have too much money, I will take the name of the Lord in vain. People say, that man doesn't know what he's saying. He knew what he was saying. You need to develop a certain amount of spiritual capacity to carry certain amounts of outward manifestation of blessing. So God said, if I give you that, you will become poor. Pride will enter your heart. That is poverty. Do you get my point? So therefore, I will withhold this until I have developed the strength of character inside you, then I'll pour the blessing upon you. What am I saying? Even though the blessing has not outwardly manifested, it doesn't mean you are not a blessed person. It doesn't mean you should now change your mind concerning the inheritance that Jesus died to give birth into your life. Listen, life will not tell it to you. You have to read. You have to go to church. You understand my point? You have to listen to a message. You have to. You must buy a book. Then the book I told them I refused to read then. They said, childless but not less. I said, well, maybe that's your portion. But for me, I don't want that. I'm going for something else. If I have to wait, I will wait. But please, this issue of just making excuses for Satan, don't count me out. Listen, I like the way I preach my message. I'm not trying to explain that if somebody doesn't have anything in life, it's okay. I never said so. I said the first thing you do is to grab the stability of your soul. So I can walk with God, and Satan won't use material things to drive you up and down. But believe me, he said, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health. Because I've heard that your soul is prospering. That is, we have the order proper. First, the prosperity of the soul. We stabilize ourselves in our soul through the word of God. Number one investment I tell every Christian you make into your own life. Believe me, it's God's word. No, as God is my witness, my own tithes and offerings used to go to bookshop, if you know what I'm going to say. Bookshops. One day I was broke, so broke that my wife, then we're not married. She would call me from Benin, have you eaten? We're on strike, we didn't earn a wage for 5 months. You know, you thought to end tomorrow. Never, it didn't end. So one day, I strolled out one day, and I went into a bookshop. And I saw the book, Heritage of Great Evangelical Teachings. Compilation of messages by people like Charles Finney, George MacDonald, D.L. Moody. What's the name of this other man? C.H. Spurgeon. Including the Reformation man. What's his name? Martin Luther. A compilation, I saw it. Ah! Plus another book then, historical book, Complete Works of Josephus. I said, ye believe. I didn't have money. I went back, went to meet one of my friends. I had some extra businesses to do. I said, Max, I beg, if you lend this guy 5K, I'll give you when salaries begin to flow again. I collect 5K, rush back, go buy the two books, bring it and come house. My wife called me after. We were not married then. How are you? I said, today I bought two books. Both of them. In fact, let me tell you how it went. There was one old man, security man at the gate. There was one book for young ministers by Mike Murdock. He said he liked the book. He would love to buy from one young pastor in their church. So the $5,000 I borrowed, I went to the bookshop. My own books were $2,000 for one. Then I paid $500 for the old man to dash the book to his young pastor. Because I heard him say it before. So next time I came, I just bought that one and dashed to him. That he said, I want to give your pastor. Take. I didn't even give him directly. I just told the lady at the counter, give that book to that man. That's the money for it. So now, all the money finished with your remote transportation money here and there. Not, my change will go past that can 300 out of 5K where I just borrow. When my wife phoned in the evening, I said, guess what? Today I went out and I bought books worth almost 5,000. She said, where did you get the money from? I said, I borrowed it from Max. She said, I don't have words for you. She couldn't believe. Look at this guy, we not get money, we go to chop. He's borrowing money to buy books. I know they say, all these people I'm blessing today, all of them, they must all go and buy me food. Because the times I was hungry, food money I used to buy word, where I jacked that time, and now you're all gathered and listening on radio. Before you get to heaven one day, and God say, you are owing. Go back here, how can you die now? Wake up, my friend, go and pay your debt. He said, Pastor Mackie went ahead of me. He said, his children are there. Go and buy them one car, HB, them one house. He said, you didn't pay on time. If you had paid on time, it would have been cheaper. But now you're a multi-millionaire. I won't take change from you again. Believe me, let me tell all of you. Listen, don't worry. Don't pay me now. The longer it takes you to pay, the more money you are going to pay. You didn't hear so? You didn't hear so? A day is going to come. Listen to me. I know what I'm saying. As a matter of fact, to be my birthday, offering. Wait, Pastor, it's your birthday. This is a birthday gift. They will line up. 5 cars here, 10 malus on the other side, and 1 or 2 new houses. And 3 people will contribute, say, okay, sir, we're thinking of buying you another jet. You know, I'm telling you, say, sorry, sir, the time I was supposed to pay the money as 2,000, I don't know what was wrong with me, but now I have repented. Here's 200 million. Very good. For the time I went to buy a book to read instead of eating, the Lord is good. What am I saying? He said, I have treasured the words of your mouth. I've treasured them as more precious than my necessary food. Listen, I'll continue this thing next time. All right? Because Paul, when he finished in Ephesus,
when he was leaving, he said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you your own inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. What I'm trying to emphasize, I want to draw your thirst, your heart, to the word of God. Are you getting my point? Every time you earn your money, you should go to the bookshelf. Number one, it shouldn't happen. You can't be coming here and they say there's one particular city, Pastor Banky preach, you don't have it. And not only Pastor Banky, I'm not the only one that preaches. Yeah, you have to learn the word of God. Otherwise, Satan will deceive you that this is not your portion. You heard it before, politics is a dirty game. A good Christian shouldn't play politics. This is the reason why people go to heaven and they don't have any reward. Because you were supposed to be a governor. I said, but you say a good Christian shouldn't play politics. So I decided to go to ministry and I became a pastor. Because he did not read. There was a brother, you know, he has to take some decisions recently that had to do with his going into ministry. And I was a bit so concerned, you know, so I gave him a book. I called him, I said, are you sure what this decision you're about to make? He said, I said, are you sure? He said, Pastor Magnus, I said, are you sure? I said, I have a book for you. Olayinka was telling me that he and the brother talked. That you know, Pastor Banky asked me, are you sure, are you sure, are you sure? The guy now gave me a book. I gave him the book called Following God's Plan for Your Life. This is testimony. I was happy for him, the way he responded. Yinka said, the brother said to him that, before I got that book, I used to pray, God, strengthen me, help me. It's after I got that book, I started praying, God, please, oh, is this your will, or I'm just the one going about this thing my own way? Do you get my point? Suddenly the prayer changed because suddenly I realized that the fact that this thing appears noble does not mean it's my calling. Are you getting my point? That's what knowledge does for you. That's what knowledge does for you. Listen to me. This is my own scripture. He said, I will give them pastors after my own heart who will feed them with knowledge and understanding. God has sent me to feed people with knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And I'm directing you to how it flows. It's not just come to listen to Pastor Banky once a week and then you decide to travel for 4 weeks and not see you. When you are going, take your book. Spend your money. It's an investment. What are you doing wearing shoes? Buy slippers if you don't have money. Take the money, go and buy one or two books. Don't let anybody give any book for free. Go and buy your own. You will treasure it more. You see books I bought in university when I started having children who started writing on my books. They were kept almost like new. And I've read them severally. Even I tell my children, my books are not toys. If I see you near there, I twerk your bum bum. Please, let me stop here. We'll continue from this very point next time. All right? The Lord is good. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Let's just give the Lord thanks.